In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months. The
Score! This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
Second down and 9. Is Ben Lieber. Doesn't get a loss of 7 yards.
Nick, it doesn't get any easier than this. I mean, here's Lieber here. I mean, Breesy thinks somebody's on the backside protecting him, never feels him. And for the second time in two plays, we get to see Ben Lieber lay out a Chicago Bear.
I believe that's Dick Stockton and Brian Baldinger on the call of Ben Lieber sacking Brian Greasy. That'll bring you back, Bears fans. That gets you in the mood for a little NFC North black and blue division football, doesn't it? Well, don't answer that. Ben Lieber is on Twitter at Nacho Lieber. The Vikings Radio Network sideline reporter is with us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Ben, how you doing?
I'm doing great, you guys. How you guys doing? Here's the thing that I'm going to start with. I just left Paul Allen's radio show here, KFAN in Minneapolis. And we played highlights of one of my biggest misplays in my history with the Chicago Bears. So it was actually nice to hear a little highlight as opposed to a low light. So thank you guys for that.
Well, we've been listening to low lights all season long in real time here in Chicago.
Yeah, we have sort of this masochistic learned helplessness lately when it comes to this Bears team, where I think our whole, at least some of us who tend toward glass half empty over the 30 years some of us have been covering this team, are really wallowing in it now because it's pretty bleak. Do you think the Bears threaten the Vikings at all?
Yes, I do actually. Look, I know that you guys have talked about all, you know, so much of the offensive coordinator change and just how different Caleb looked last week and all this other stuff. So I would echo all of that. I think that your guys' offense looked way more efficient. It looked way more decisive. The offensive line actually looked like they were creating a new line of scrimmage more consistently in the run game. And Caleb looked great. I mean, there's some, you know, design, some quarterback, you know, read stuff and, you know, 70 yards rushing, you know, most that he's had all season long. So all of that looked great. The thing that worries me is your guys' defense. What is it? 22nd as far as blitz rate in the league, but you guys are top 10 when it comes to pressure rate. Like, you guys get after it with the front four. And if you look at where our offensive struggles have been the last couple of weeks, is teams that don't blitz much. You know, if you're just going to rush three or four guys and drop into coverage, Sam Darnold doesn't do a great job right now of really anticipating some of those windows. And so, I don't know, man. You guys have a tough defense. It's fast and kind of plays into what we're not doing well right now.
Ben, when you look at the Bears from the outside looking in, what do you see in terms of a team that started off 4-2 and now is suffering a 4-game losing streak. What have you noticed picked up, and what do you see as the problem?
Well, it's easy just to say that there's just not enough great quarterback play. I think you guys have a winning defense. Special teams could be a little bit better. I think statistically it's not great. I think you guys are like outside the top 20, but I'm going to kind of get nitpicky here. I mean, we don't really talk about special teams. I know you guys did last week.
Yes,
but
we're still talking about it.
I get it, but like, you don't really bring up special teams as far as, unless it's like really, really epically bad. And like, you guys aren't epically bad. I just think it's a team that's trying to figure itself out, and, you know, having a quarterback out there that just can make cleaner decisions and not always take the sack, which I don't understand sometimes, like, why he's really athletic. Why doesn't he just, you know, have a better sense of breaking the pocket when he needs to, even just throwing the ball away? Like, the number of sacks that he just eats and the times that he just looks a little confused back there is a lot. But that's also kind of expected for young quarterbacks. So I think you guys are just a very obvious team that's going through some growing pains. And I promise you, at least from what I've seen, it is going to get better.
When you look at Sam Darnold right now, is there a type of regression that's going on? You talked about him not doing well against teams that don't send extra pressure, send extra bodies at him. What are you seeing there? Is there a regression?
Well, I don't know if it's a regression. I just think that teams are starting to see, the more games he plays, they're starting to see what he does well and what he doesn't do well. I mean, up until us going to Jacksonville, which is 2 weeks ago, he had the highest quarterback rating against the blitz of any quarterback in the league. And I think there was this idea going into the season, oh, we know who Sam Darnold is. It doesn't matter he's playing for KOC. It doesn't matter he's on this new team with Justin Jefferson. Like, it's still Sam Darnold. We're still going to do the same things that we've seen him do and attack him the same way that we've seen him in his young career. And now with the new tutelage and, you know, more weapons and a belief in him, he was shredding the blitz. And so now I think teams are like, okay, well, let's not blitz anymore and let's play a little bit more coverage to see what happens. And that seems to be working. So is it a regression? I don't know if it's a regression per se. I just think it's gamesmanship. And, you know, he's just trying to figure out a way to be a little bit more efficient, which he was last week where he didn't throw the ball away. And he's starting to rely more on his legs. I mean, his escapability has been, you know, off the charts, you know, when he's been tested. So he needs to lean a little bit more into that and then pick his shots down the field.
We were talking earlier, and our producer, Adam Studzinski, made the observation that there's a big drop-off after the Vikings get through with their scripted plays, that they do a really nice job coming into the game with whatever it is, the first 15 or the first couple of drives, and then once adjustments are made, and granted, this is against way better coaches than Matt Eberflus, but the one thing that Eberflus has done well is sort of program his defense. So is that a real thing? Is that something you've noticed as well?
I think it's noticeable, Dan, when you look at the scoring by quarters and all that stuff. But I think what goes into that is turnovers. When we turn the ball over, obviously not good. You're stalling every drive, and we all know what that means. But also, when we get behind the chains, it's not so much the execution of the plays. It's just that we've really struggled if we get an offensive penalty, we get set back, we're behind the chains. We haven't done a very good job consistently of battling through some of those long yard situations and picking up first downs and moving the chain. So we're kind of our own worst enemy when it comes to that stuff. I don't think it's play scripting. I don't think it's play design. I just think that it's, you know, sometimes just mental errors and a lot of it pre-snap, that if we get behind, we're just not right now a team that's going to push past that on a consistent basis. So we see the same thing. We talk about a lot of the same stuff, and that's just kind of how I see it.
So I started the show today by expressing my desire that the Bears don't go into the game having half lost. To wit, this idea that Brian Flores is so good at these zero blitzes and so good at putting you in the proverbial blender that, boy, we got to run the ball, we got to run draws, we got to run screens. And I'm thinking, no, that a blitz is in a lot of ways an inherently weak defense. You went out in the offseason, you added all these skill position players. What's the point of having them if you can't get them set up in some one-on-ones to go make a play? So if you were game planning my offense in this game and saying, okay, you're going to bring dudes. We're going to find the hots. We're going to find the matchups. Where are they? Where are the weak spots that this defense is daring you to try to exploit?
I would think the weak spots are anything that is 10 to, 15 to 18 yards middle of the field between the hashes, maybe just, slightly outside the hashes, that sort of area. Because you are right. He will bring zero blitz. Brian Flores will bring zero blitz in the field. It doesn't have to be in the red zone. He doesn't care. He's going to bring six guys. He's going to leave five guys in coverage. And you think about just the spacing of three guys over the top and two guys underneath as far as your pass coverage. That's not great. That you can't cover a lot of ground there. And if you get a beat on, all right, let's just kind of like slightly max protect this area, and we can still get two or three guys out in the pass, there are going to be holes. And where teams get us, and the Lions did a great job because they're, a great coaching staff, and they have great players.
Yes.
They picked up our blitz. Yeah. And they exploited that. They're like, all right, if we just give Goff just a hair longer to sit in the pocket and look, there are inherent holes in this defense because it's just a numbers game. And as long as your quarterback doesn't freak out, and as long as your guys, your tight ends and running backs can step up and block, then, yeah, you can pick apart this defense. It's just hard to do that for 60 minutes because people make mistakes. We got a bunch of dogs up front, too, that can beat a one-on-one pass rush that will get to the quarterback and make the quarterback feel it. So it is a risk proposition. And if I'm going against this defense, I say take your shots, man, because the shots can be there.
Vikings have the 8-2 record, one of the best records in the league, bar none. Certainly in conversation and in the mix for the number one seed in that bye, but it doesn't seem like they're getting the national respect of a team that is considered a Super Bowl contender. How aware of that are the players and the people of Minnesota as well, that this team is still having to prove itself because they're just not getting the respect that maybe they deserve after 10 games?
Well, it's tough for me to speak from what the players are thinking, just because I have such limited time with them. Mm-hmm. But I can tell you what the fans are thinking. The fans are thinking, I think we're exactly where we need to be. I mean, we haven't put together these dominant wins. When we didn't bounce back from that Lions loss, short week, going to Los Angeles, I think that really was just kind of the wind out of our national sails of like, okay, maybe they're not who we thought. Like, everybody gave us some respect and credit for going toe-to-toe with the Lions at our place. And it's like, okay, a couple plays here and there, but the Vikings are a good team. They go on the road, and we look so flat, and we did not play very well on Thursday Night Football. I think that's when everybody's like, okay, maybe not as good. And then everybody around here was saying, we have a three-game stretch. Woo, boy, we can take a deep breath. Boy, we get to go to Jacksonville, and then we go to Nashville, and then we go to Chicago. Should be three easy wins. Well, they haven't been three easy or two easy wins. They haven't been going back to the Lions. They haven't taken the Jacksonville Jaguars, taken them behind the woodshed, and just beat the pulp out of them. That gives you national attention. When you just sort of squeak by these teams that you're better than, I think it's accurate for the nation and for the people to say, like, I don't know what we have out of these guys. Great record, but they haven't asserted their dominance in any one game yet.
Isn't that the league, though? If we start looking at the number of these games that are one-score games, and, the Chiefs finally got tagged after a bunch of ho-hum wins. Like, they don't really look like the Chiefs. This is a dominant team, and then you look at their record, and you see all this stuff. So it seems like it's harder than ever for a team to escape what I call the NFL blob.
Yes, but I think those teams have quarterback cachet, and I think that goes a long ways. And you can always have faith that, all right, the Chiefs have some sort of Mahomes magic. Statistically, offense is not great, but you keep them, the defense keeps you around the fourth quarter. Magical things are going to happen. Josh Allen, same thing. He's got the marquee name. Lamar Jackson, same thing. He's got the marquee name. We don't, Sam Darnold for the rest of the public is not a marquee name. And everybody's waiting for Sam Darnold to become Sam Darnold. And they're like, okay, cute team. They've won some games, but eventually they're just, you know, Sam's going to just do what he's always done. And the Vikings are just going to kind of be an afterthought when it comes down to the playoff push. I think that's what people are thinking. And I mean, I don't fault them for looking at name recognition, but I can tell you right now, you're sleeping on this defense. I mean, we all know the defense wins championships. And if Sam can play like he did last week, where he doesn't turn the ball over, makes a ton of plays with his legs, we get an efficient running game, and we still have the best wide receiver in the game, along with this pressure-heavy defense that has a bunch of non-household stars on this defense. I mean, Andrew Van Ginkle should be up for the defensive MVP.
Oh, he's a hell of a player, man. He's something.
People want to laugh at that, but you put a blank face up and you compare him to all the other candidates defensively and his impact. Oh, he's up there. People would be like, oh my gosh, two defensive touchdowns. You know, he's what, you know, close to leading the league in sacks and all this other, like, oh my gosh, tackle for losses. Like, this guy's a menace. Who is this guy? And it's, oh, it's Andrew Van Ginkle. Yeah, you know, that's the type of guys we have on our team.
I feel like people know who Andrew Van Ginkle is now league wide.
He also looks like a literal Viking.
That's fair.
I know. It's great. I mean, he fits it perfectly. I mean, grew up in not far away in Iowa. I mean, his family and everybody in town is a Vikings fan. Like, it's like the perfect story.
No, I don't trust people from Iowa. You know, absolutely not. No. Never,
what?
Never. No. You know that. He's just, you know.
Iowa's a lovely place. I wanted to ask you.
Ben's from Iowa.
Ben, about Aaron Jones and the running game and whether or not Kevin O'Connell, you think, will game plan for that. In terms of the Bears have not been great at stopping the run. They've had some issues on their defensive line. And I know, you know, averaging 4 yards a carry isn't probably what the Vikings were envisioning with their running game. Everybody wants to be a little bit better, and they don't have one of the top tier, let's say, running games, but they haven't really needed it. Is that an area of, I guess, exposure that you think the Vikings are going to try to attack this weekend?
I think so, and it seems like it's funny because you could literally watch your defense get better from 2 weeks ago against New England and the type of runs versus last week against Green Bay. I mean, you guys got exploited with a lot of the wham-type blocks where the tight end starts or a fullback starts on one side and goes all the way across the formation and kicks out the defensive end. Those sort of plays where you have the ability to stay front side or cut back, your ends and edges don't do a great job of digging underneath those blocks. And so they create a lot of seams. And you come back to the Packers game, and clearly they practiced against that. And they're like, all right, we're going to shut this down. But the point is, there are vulnerabilities. And I think that your guys' front is not as natural at stopping the run maybe as some other teams. Maybe even look at our team. Our team is, you know, fantastic at stopping the run. I think that KOC and the staff are going to look a lot of the same tape, and they're going to say, okay, we can manipulate their ends pretty good. They love to run upfield. We can capture their edge and get around the outside. We can influence them, get them to run upfield and kick them out. Like, we can do those sort of things as long as we sort of, dress it up maybe a little differently so they can't get a beat on it. I think balance, finding a run game, using what Aaron Jones does the best, and that's just kind of slashing through the defensive line, we have to get that going because we do get a little lopsided sometimes. You can tell KOC has to, like, kind of rein it back in because I think he just loves calling passing plays, but he knows that the running game has to be a part of the equation.
We're talking with Ben Lieber, the former Viking linebacker turned Radio Network sideline reporter. Before we let you go, you sort of very casually and correctly, I think, called Justin Jefferson the best in the game.
Yep.
And I was going to say, well, wait, I mean, no, I kind of guess he is. But the Bears have one who's one of the best in the game, too, in Jalen Johnson. He had a rough week last week, first bad game he's had in a while. But they don't travel him with a receiver. And there's always reasons for it. And if you were a defensive coordinator and it were up to you, would this be a week in which you would reconfigure things to allow him to shadow Jefferson? And if not, why not?
I would say no, going back to what I said about Sam Darnold loves to see man coverage. He loves it. He knows exactly where to go with the ball. He knows he can read the leverage better. Everything's cleaner. Everything is just cleaner from a pre-snap look to knowing where you need to go. Zone coverages, because there are multiple zone coverages, you don't know where guys are going to end up. You don't always know. So my philosophy going this game, if I was a defensive coordinator, I would say, no, I'm going to keep Jalen on his side. We're going to mix it up, you know, play some man, play some zone, but predominantly wherever Justin's going to be, we'll bracket him. We'll bracket him with a zone coverage. We don't have to double team him in man coverage, but we'll just make sure that, you know, a nickel corner or a corner and a safety all have sort of, you know, we've got two sets of bodies that kind of know where he's at and squeeze him. And then we'll just kind of play a zone in front of that. And we should be good to go, because that's what's given us the biggest problems. And I don't think that you can go into the game saying, we're going to shut Justin Jefferson down to zero catches and 0 yards. I think you just go in the expectation, okay, he'll get us 5 or 6 touches and targets. You know, we limit him to 50 yards. As long as they're not 50 yards and 2 touchdowns, I think we'll be good. So, no, I wouldn't travel him either.
All right, good answer. Well supported. Ben Lieber, this is great. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Yeah, Dan Marshall, appreciate it, man. Anytime. Good luck to you guys. I think that you guys really are. I'm a big fan of Kevin Warren, too. I mean, he's a Vikings guy and a friend of mine, so I think he's got good things coming for you guys.
We will see. Wow. Jury is still out.
Hope you're right.
Thanks, Ben.
That's Ben Lieber. This segment brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Paul Charchian has all of the fantasy secrets for you next on The Score.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Bernstein and Harris Show, middays 10 till 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Charchian, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer.
That guy must really know what he's doing.
Director of Guillotine Leagues at FantasyLife.com.
Dan, I think you're really underestimating the broad sexual appeal that I have.
A texter says, you just put the fantasy back in fantasy football.
Your guide through the waiver wire.
Hurry, step right up and keep following the leader.
Charge. With Bernstein Charge. And Harris on 670 The Score.
Not that we don't always like talking to Paul Charchian on the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today, but it's especially fun during a Vikings week. Paul Charchian, the director of Guillotine Leagues at FantasyLife.com, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. We just had a lovely conversation with your guy, Ben Lieber, in the previous segment.
He is my guy. He is as nice a former athlete and smart as you'll ever get. Even when he was as an active player, a couple of times I ran into him just out and about town, ran up to me, you know, and I'm like, you know, the hated media then when he's the player, ran up to me, just great guy, said hi, just he's so smart. I'm glad. I'm sure the segment went very, very well with Ben last segment, right?
He didn't predict a Bears win, so I'm going to say no.
Well, there is that. So, I mean, he is realistic that way. And he's actually got, and you may not know this about him, Ben Lieber's got an afternoon TV show every day for an hour that he does. That is, it's basically kind of housewife viewing. And it's very stereotypical. It sounds like 50s stuff. But where it's, you know, they have cooking guests on and they, you know, they talk about stuff that's happening around town. He does that every day.
I could see that, actually, after talking with him. I could actually see that.
Yeah. Super well-rounded guy. Yeah, he's great.
You know,
your team.
Yes. Yeah, I was going to tell you what I did not see, and that was, or at least did not see coming, was Bo Nix being a front runner for Rookie of the Year.
Unreal.
And he's got Vegas, and I might need a quarterback. So is that what we roll with?
Marshall's my number 3 ranked quarterback this week.
That's insane. So,
I know. Wow. It feels like it, right? But the problem is he keeps performing this well. So They played Vegas already once. Bo Nix did. It was week 5. And that's when everything changed for Bo Nix. The first 4 games, it was a wreck. He was averaging 4 yards per completion, and that offense was not moving at all. And honestly, right then, I was throwing in the towel on Bo Nix. But then he played Vegas, week 5. Has a 3-touchdown game. And since then, he is on an absolute tear. Get this. Thank you, Pro Football Focus. His last 8 games for Bo Nix, he has 1 turnover-worthy play.
Wait, what?
Get 8 games, Bo Nix has had 1 turnover-worthy play in 8 games. That's it. He is, and he's throwing downfield. He's unlocked Cortland Sutton. And
you're going to make people here in Chicago very jealous. I say throwing downfield.
Yeah, what does that look like, throwing downfield? So he's gone now. He's at 7.5 yards per pass, right in the middle of the pack of the NFL now. This kid he's good. You know, he's running. And Denver's defense is great. This whole Denver thing has been a little bit under, we've been sleeping on this team a little bit. They're good. And yeah, back to the Raiders. They've averaged 3.5 passing touchdowns allowed over the last 3 games. It's a great opportunity.
Bo Nix. Okay, got it. That's all yes. I needed to hear.
All right. That's a long way of saying Bo Nix.
So before we look over the rest of the league, let's talk about this game, the Bears and the Vikings.
Yeah.
We both know these teams well with everybody assembled here. Who in this game is your highest ranked at his respective position?
Well, Justin Jefferson, because he's Justin Jefferson. But let's talk about this, because you know how I feel about Jalen Johnson. Is Matt Eberflus just going to deploy Jalen Johnson on Justin Jefferson?
We just
in this
talked
game?
To Ben Lieber
Not
about
to our
that.
Knowledge.
I just asked Ben Lieber specifically about that, and he said no, because of the amount of zone they probably want to play, and they're going to bracket him anyway. So rather than chase him around in man, they're better off just allowing him to get his 50 yards that aren't as damaging. That was in a thumbnail of what he said.
Which, okay, and that's usually how it goes for Justin Jefferson most of the time. But I look at the parable, what we learned from Terry McLaurin in the Washington game. You know, Terry, if you take Terry McLaurin away from Washington, now they've got to make do with really far inferior players. And I would use Jalen Johnson, a guy who allows 1.5 catches per game. That's it. I would use Jalen Johnson on Justin Jefferson a fair amount. This is why you're paying him. And he's one of the best at his position. I would put him on Justin Jefferson at least half of this game and make the Vikings find other players who are going to beat your team, because Justin Jefferson can still do it. You might say, okay, we'll give up 50, 60 yards, but Justin Jefferson turns those into 120-yard games routinely.
I know she didn't mention any Bears.
Well, okay, so.
Because I have DJ Moore and I have DeAndre Swift, and I also have Roschon Johnson because, just in case, break glass in case of emergency.
And but that might be happening.
This is a bad look for the Bears is what I'm hearing.
It is. Okay, so first, my question for you is this. First game with Thomas Brown, and DeAndre Swift's snap share shrunk to its lowest level of the year, 54%. Roschon Johnson on the field in situations that we never saw him on.
Yeah.
Do you think that's a 1-week blip or perhaps the start of a trend?
It's probably a start of a trend because the offense is broken. And and now that I know DeAndre Swift's groin is in repair, in healing mode, Yeah, you're probably right.
Here's the Vikings defense, run defense. Number one in run defense success rate. Number one in defensive rush EPA. Number two in yards per carry. Number two in rushing touchdowns allowed. Number three in yards before contact. Number three in yards after contact. That's, to me, it doesn't matter who the runners are here. They're going to get swallowed up in this game.
I just thought maybe the passing game, a little screen here, a little dump off there. No, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, now... that's the good news, right, Caleb? It was all quick timing stuff last week, right? And he played great? Well, great. He played well. That's what's beaten the Vikings this year, has been quick timing passes because the Vikings blitz so much. And this is how you take you take that blitz away, is the fast first reads to open players. And if you can do that, those are the teams that have successfully passed on Minnesota. And that's what Caleb Williams has done well in the games, I think, in the games that he's played well. Carolina, Jacksonville, last week. So that's, I think that's your reason for optimism. Do you guys see it similarly?
Well, I think that they've got to look bigger than that, that it's not going to be death by a thousand cuts. I think I've also been sort of...
Dan wants them to chop off their heads.
I want them to take advantage of, and again, I asked Lieber about it. He said 15 to 18 yards middle of the field outside the hashes. That if you can protect long enough to find those soft areas, if six are coming and you've got 3 and 2 or 2 and 3, however you're looking at it behind them, that there's going to be chances. And if I just don't want the Bears to lose slowly. I'd rather where they are take those shots.
Well, you just did that last game. So
yes,
I understand why you're like, I don't need to see that again. But here's the thing. Your team was also in it against a better opponent until the last play of the game. And I think you are better off trying to scratch out a close win because that's where the Vikings have been vulnerable. Are the teams that just stick with them. They almost lost to the Jaguars 2 weeks ago because the Jags just stuck with them long enough that it came down to final drive of the game. So I don't know. I understand that that's what you want. I think your best path to victory is through quick timing plays through your passing game.
Let's talk about some other quarterbacks here that people may be discussing regarding this week. Both Jaden Daniels, who is on a bit of a downturn, but he's got the Cowboys, and then Tommy DeVito, for reasons sort of that seem sort of nefarious, he is now back in charge of the Giants offense.
I want to know what you think about this, because I think, Dan, you and I are going to be on the same page on this. I don't like this DeVito thing, and here's why.
It's gross. Okay.
It is gross. So I understand that the Daniel Jones benching was largely earned. He'd been very inconsistent, although not always horrible, but they mostly just didn't want to trigger the injury clause in his contract. All right, fine. But then you've got Drew Lock, to whom you traded for, and he's been your number two the entire year, but they're sitting him because he has escalators in his contract that he would likely hit if he's the starter for the remaining 7 games. Come on. I mean, he's your number two quarterback. You're not starting him because you don't want to pay him his escalators. So they go to Tommy DeVito. Despite getting zero reps with first and second team offenses in practice, DeVito has been playing the role of opposing quarterback in practice.
Yep, scout team.
Scout team. So what? He's the guy you're throwing out. I mean, one of the great things about the NFL is the integrity of the game that teams are trying to win all the time. Giants aren't trying to win with Tommy DeVito.
I think that's pretty good. What about Patrick Mahomes? Because he's going against the Panthers. So that seems like, on surface, a no-brainer.
Marshall, I went into this week assuming Patrick Mahomes would be like a top 5 quarterback in my rankings. It's the Panthers. I can't get him higher than quarterback 12. And here's why. Mahomes has become matchup proof, but in the wrong way. There's no matchup too easy for Patrick Mahomes from a fantasy standpoint. He's only been a top 10 fantasy quarterback one time all year. The explosiveness is completely missing from this Chiefs offense. And where it's really reflected is in Mahomes' average depth of target. On the season, he's 20th in ADOT. The past month, Mahomes is 26th in ADOT. You can't have an explosive offense when you're throwing 5 yards downfield. That's what's killing this Mahomes-led offense, and why even against Carolina, an improved secondary, by the way, I can't get Mahomes higher than quarterback 12. You got 12 people in your league. He's not an automatic starter this week.
Wow. Where's Jaden Daniels?
2.
Ah, oh, okay. Okay, so he's in good shape. Finally, before we let you go, Charge, weather could be a factor as I'm looking outside the window and seeing all the snow falling here in Chicago. Tonight, with the Steelers and the Browns, what do you like in this matchup, and who should people be starting?
Well, it's changed in the last just even few hours, because this weather situation is getting very real. Wisconsin's getting killed right now. 100% chance of precipitation. It's the good old wintry mix. You guys know the wintry mix
very well.
Yeah. Right. So here's what's coming for the game tonight. Cold rain, sleet, snow, and possibly the elusive sneet in this game. And winds. Originally, this morning when I looked, they were talking 10 to 20 mile an hour winds. Now they're saying 15 to 25 mile an hour winds. Here's the hierarchy of winter weather concerns for fantasy players. First is snow. This is the lowest worry. unless it's so much snow that it affects footing. Then, things change.
I thought wind was number one.
Wind is number one, is the most severe. Okay. Yes. Wind is the, I'm doing reverse order.
Oh, sorry.
Hierarchy here. I should have made that more clear. Wind is number one. If it gets over about 25 miles an hour, now we get fewer passes. We get fewer downfield passes, especially. And then between snow and wind is rain, because nobody likes cold, slick balls. The quarterback can't grip it well. Receivers drop more passes. And so we could get, the reason I'm worried about tonight, we could get all of that. We could get wind, rain, and snow. And this could be one of these mutter games for Nick Chubb, who has done nothing to this point. But this might be a Nick Chubb just power running game. And for a guy that you did not want to start for any of the four games he's played so far, he gets kind of interesting in bad weather tonight.
Nobody indeed likes wet, slick balls. So nobody says Paul Charchian, our fantasy expert. And I know we're off next week because of Thanksgiving. So a happy, healthy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Yeah, thank you very much. We'll look forward to talking to you guys in 2 weeks.
That is Paul Charchian. Don't look at me like that. Next up, we have High Noon. We need to address something that is seems to be happening in the lobby of our building.
Oh, I love that.
You do?
Studs does not. But
I don't think I do either.
Okay, we could talk about that. But also, New Year's Eve is right around the corner.
It is?
One Georgia City will welcome 2025 with a larger than average bang. All That's right. Next on The Score.
The Bernstein and Harris Show.
Sexy football with Matt Bowen.
I was listening to you guys on the radio one afternoon.
You should be. Everybody should. Should.
I'll be back this way on Monday. We'll settle this then. Right there, out in the street, in front of the Palace Saloon.
Yeah, right. When? High noon?
Time for High Noon on your Thursday. What a show it's been so far. We have talked a lot of Bears. Ben Lieber joined us. Paul Charchian joined us. We discussed the Bulls as well, trying to figure out how they're going to work out this whole tank thing. And I think Patrick Williams being hurt and Josh Giddey being on the floor is a real good way to ensure that they have this valuable first-round pick. I also should mention, as I tend to forget to do, that we have two tickets to Mariah Carey's Christmastime tour. It makes its stop at Allstate Arena Rosemont on Wednesday, November 27th, which I believe is this Wednesday. So we have a pair of tickets. Keep listening for your chance to win them.
Mariah. She's Mariah.
It's high noon.
All right, let's head to Macon, Georgia.
No, thank you.
No, Macon's a lovely town.
I don't think I've been to
They got
Macon.
Grits, okay, Dan? Just get with it. They got grits. They got a Waffle House. You'll be fine.
And did you ever tell Layla about the cheese grits?
Her eyes got big.
Fried bologna.
She got very excited about the idea of this. She said, why don't you have a name for it, though? And I was like,
right.
We're workshopping that. But anyway, back to Macon, Georgia, where they will welcome in 2025 with a larger-than-average bang. The Macon-Bibb County Commission on Tuesday approved a plan to implode a vacant 16-story hotel at midnight on New Year's
okay.
Eve.
Okay.
Macon-Bibb County spent $4.5 million last year to buy the hotel in a federal bankruptcy proceeding. The city county agreed on Tuesday to hire a demolition firm to blow up the building at a cost of $2.6 million. That, according to a local news outlet's report. Quote, we acquired this property to blow it up, end quote. That's Macon Mayor Lester Miller. The hotel was opened in 1970. Its guests included Elvis, but it was never a financial success. Most notably, the New York Banking Department seized the hotel in 1991, saying it was one asset that was part of a fraud and money laundering scheme linked to the Bank of Credit and Commerce International. The bank was accused of helping Saddam Hussein hire Iraqi oil profits.
What?
And backing Oliver North's arms deals with Iran.
Whoa!
Last operating as the Ramada Plaza. The hotel on the northern edge of downtown Macon, a block from the river, has stood vacant since it closed in 2017. The building designed by noted architect Morris Lapidus, famous for Miami Beach hotels, including the Fountain Blue.
Oh, Art Deco stuff.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Miller said it isn't structurally sound, cannot be renovated. Quote, we're going to spend a little money to tear that thing down, but what you'll see that's replacing that will be 100 times of what it's doing right now, end quote.
All right, so the mayor said New Year's Eve.
The city hasn't decided on just how the land will be used, but it's going to be 100 times better than having an empty vacant. Here's the great quote to end this thing. Quote, it's an eyesore to the whole community. We would love to have something else there. We just want to make sure that our church doesn't get blown up on our bicentennial. That would be the soundbite from Russ Henry, a member of the vestry that oversees Christ Episcopal Church, less than 2 blocks from said hotel.
All right.
So, blowing it up. Just don't blow us up while you're blowing it up.
All right, let me get this straight.
Yeah. Studs, I'm so excited.
The building, Prudential 2, made an announcement that our lovely Randolph Street lobby, like right next to Wildberry, and they've got sort of these soothing video boards.
That's how I come in the building every day.
And they're putting pickleball courts, the permanent.
Not one, but two.
They are there.
They're there now? Oh, you haven't seen them?
No, I don't.
Dan, I know, you usually take the elevator up from the parking garage, right?
Yeah.
So on your way out, turn left to go towards the escalators and just look over the balcony. You'll see them there. They take up the entire lobby.
They're beautiful.
No, they're not.
No, they're not.
They've got the perfect netting, too, so the balls don't get away from you. It's a great setup.
I know it's a partnership with Wilson. Nothing against Wilson or Wilson Corporation, which should be an advertising partner of this station because we're all right here and, you know, Men 2554 and the whole thing. But no. And this is sort of me with an FAFO, because I always said with the idea of the noise pollution of pickleball in our parks and pickleball taking over all of our peaceful parks, what did I say? I said all of this unused mall space and all these big dead zombie malls, they're finding awesome places to put indoor pickleball. Perfect. Perfect. The noise doesn't pollute anything. People who want it can go there, and there's a bar, and there's a spa, or whatever it is.
I don't think the noise is going to pollute. It's in the lobby. There's nothing close to there.
Just from my personal situation, I like that lobby.
You wouldn't even know it was there, Dan.
Well, here I would in the spring, because before I go fishing.
Oh, you liked it. Okay.
I go to my car. I get my stuff. I sit down. I usually have the same chair every time in that lobby, and I prepare my rigs for walking down to the lakefront and fishing. And if I check, I have to retie. If there's a nick in one of the fluorocarbon leaders, or if I figure, you know, I get a sense of what I want to throw depending on the wind and the sun and all that. And that's sort of the ritual of a quiet time there to do that. And now there's pickleball courts there?
Also, there's going to be, I think, more on the 11th floor is what they said. So
that's where all of them should be.
Fine.
All of them should be on the
11th
floor.
Put them on the 11th floor. Get them. The lobby serves a purpose in a big downtown building. And it should be like an atrium space like that is designed to make the entry. It's not an amusement park.
Can be an amusement park. I've seen plenty of hotels, office space buildings do things with their lobby that are entertaining when they put up
as a one-off. Yeah, but
when I saw them putting down the stuff, I was like, "Oh, is this for like holiday decorations or something?" And then Studs hits me with the group text talking about pickleball. I was like, "Oh, that's what that was." It's great. Anything that's healthy is great.
I'll have you know, Dan, they didn't forget about you. You like to sit down there. They did move the seating area
in the
middle. Between the two pickleball courts.
They're torturing me.
I love it all, Dan. I love it. Anything that promotes health and wellness, I'm all about that.
Over under for how many months it lasts?
No, it's going to let you. Well, it depends on if it gets booked. You have to, like, book it and everything. I read all the stuff when I was walking by there. I was like, oh, this seems like a process.
Come on, we work here. Put it in a mall, and if you want it, don't put it in the. This is
y'all are hilarious.
I have yet to see anyone play down
there. That's what I'm saying. That's why it's hilarious, because you're complaining and nothing's even happened yet.
I say 3 months.
I hope you're right.
Well, that'd be wintertime, so yeah, that's perfect.
I hope you're right. That is High Noon. Next up, Matt Bowen breaks it down for us. I'm going to take some stuff we already found out, and I'm going to build on that to ask more informed questions of our next guest when it comes to the Bears and the Vikings. We're also going to turn around all the coordinator sound for you today. So as you're out there in the cold, we are keeping you warm and happy today. Bernstein and Harris on the score.